morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I am your host, John Scott. I appreciate you joining me this morning or this afternoon, whenever you listen. I don't care. Sleep in, because it was a hell of a night. You deserve to sleep in. We all deserve it, because what drama, what cinema, what absolute, just beautiful hockey we all watched last night. And before we get into it, I just want to touch on how lucky we are. Because coming into the Stanley Cup Finals, I think we were all, me particularly, I was a little nervous. After the first three rounds of these playoffs, I was left feeling I wanted more. I was a little empty. All of these series, I don't know how many there were, whether it was 16 or 12 series that we watched in the first three rounds, they weren't very good. They weren't very good whatsoever. And as a big proponent of hockey, I always tell everybody whenever I'm around the country, I go, hockey is the greatest sport on the planet to watch in person, to watch on TV, all around. It's just a fantastic sport. And then for the first three rounds, wasn't that case. It was just blowouts, not very competitive hockey. It wasn't what I wanted to see. So coming into the Stanley Cup Finals, I was a little nervous because everybody was thinking, oh, Carolina, they're going to blow out Vegas. Or on the other side of the page, Vegas is going to blow out Carolina. It was either one or the other. I didn't see very many people saying this is going to go seven. These are two evenly matched teams. It was pretty oil and water. This team will win versus that team will win. I was a little, you know, down the middle. I wasn't sure how this series was going to go. And when game one hits, I got insanely nervous. Out of the gates, Carolina, they dominated the first 20 minutes of game one. I think the shots at one point were like 12-1. The zone time was overwhelmingly for Carolina. They were doing everything that they wanted to do. When you try to map out the way a game goes, it was exactly how Rod Brindamore had mapped out that first period to go in game one. Two goals, all four lines going, all six defensemen engaged, throwing the puck in deep, recovering that puck, shooting pucks on net. That's Carolina Hurricanes hockey. Get the other team on their heels and just suffocate them. Just overwhelm them with pressure all over the puck. You have no time to think. You have no time to use your creativity for the Vegas Golden Knights. That's what you're known for. All four lines have, maybe not all four lines. Your top three lines are very creative, very good offensively. But when you suffocate them, when you take away time and space, you eliminate that creativity. You eliminate that talent. And that's what Carolina did in the first period. I got very nervous because I was watching it with my kids and I was going, I'm going for, you know, the white team. And they're going, we're going for the red team. I said, okay, sounds good. And after that first period, I wouldn't have turned it off, but boy, I thought the game was over. And then the second period starts and I go, okay, maybe this ain't so bad. Vegas pushes back a little bit. Then they get into their game. And then you could tell Carolina got a little flustered and they started to play a little bit open, a little bit loose. And when teams do that and they try to change the way they play, bad things happen. And the Vegas Golden Knights took over the last two periods of that game. And it culminated with Thomas Hertl scoring with 4 minutes left with the game winner. But then after that game, I go to bed. I'm happy. I'm like, okay, here we go. Vegas could win this series because in four, which made me sad. But here's why. Because after game one, if you're Rod Brindamore and you go back and you rewatch the game, which they all do, they watch it over and over again. You're pulling clips. You're trying to find out tendencies. You're trying to figure out how we can build off of this loss in a way and learn from it. After watching that game over, I bet you Rod Brindamore got a little nervous. Because in a perfect world, what happened in game one for the Carolina Hurricanes would not happen in game two, because all of the chances they got, all of their opportunities, not all, but the most, were the fault of the Vegas Golden Knights. They had three goals. Two of the goals were direct turnovers by the Vegas Golden Knights. Noah Hanifin and Jack Eichel with just awful turnovers going east-west on the blue line. And that's one thing Torts preaches. Do not turn the puck over at the blue lines. That's it. Those are no-nos. Those are very danger areas. You either get it out or get it in. Don't be cutesy going east-west. And you saw him on the bench saying, we need to go north and south. We need to stop trying to do crap at the blue lines. We need to get up and get either get out of the zone or get into the zone. And it burned him twice in game one. And going back to Rod Brind'Amour, when he's doing the recap of the game, you're trying to look for ways to improve and to get an edge on your opponents. And when they have easy fixes, as the Knights did, after game one, Torts easily clipping those shots, saying, we shot ourselves in the foot. We can be better. Here are tangible ways that we can prevent goals. Don't turn the puck over here, Jack. Don't turn the puck over here, Noah. Get it deep. Get it out. Let's go north-south instead of east-west. That's an easy way to eliminate mistakes. We're not generating offense from this. Carolina is too well-coached or too, they're just too structured. We won't generate much offense trying to go east-west from them on the rush. We have to do something different. Boom. You eliminate two goals. So going back to Rod, if I go up 2-0, I have all the momentum. I get all the power play chances. I get all of everything I want. I'm turning the puck over. I'm generating offense. I'm getting goals off of those turnovers, and I still lose the game. What do I change? How do I play better after game one? And that's what I thought about if I'm Rod. I really don't know how he asks his team to play better. And what he said was, we need goals from the top guys. That's it. And he's been very kid gloves with that top line, Svechnikov, Aho, and Jarvis. He's been, you know, he alludes to it every once in a while, but he never outright says, like, you need to be better. Because they've been okay. Obviously, they haven't produced anything, but he's been hesitant to call them out. Well, he called them out after game one. He said, in order to win this series, we need the top guys to score. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Which is a big difference at how he's spoken for the first three rounds of these playoffs. So that was big. But other than that, what else can the Hurricanes change? And game two starts. And you could tell Vegas, they changed their tendencies. They changed the way that they played the game in that first period. They weren't going east-west. They weren't trying to do the cutesy stuff with the blue lines. They were being more diligent. They were being more aware of the situation, getting pucks deep, getting pucks out. It didn't work. In the first period, it was pretty, it wasn't dominated by Carolina, but Carolina carried the play. The offensive zone time, just all in all. It was a pretty ho-hum period in the first period until, and this is another, you know, maybe thing that the Vegas Golden Knights need to do. Just give the damn puck to Brett Howden, you know, because that guy cannot not score goals. Every time he touches a puck, it seems to be either a goal or a grade A chance where it should have been a goal. Well, he gets a beautiful pass from Mitch Marner up the middle. Out muscles Sean Walker and goes in and buries 1-0 Las Vegas Golden Knights. Fantastic. We start the second period and Vegas just puts on the work boots. Like it was a complete utter domination by the Vegas Golden Knights in the second period. And who, lo and behold, after a power play, Brett Howden scores number two, number 13 of the playoffs. Beautiful pass by Ivan Barbashev, Noah Hanifin up to him. 2-0. Should have been maybe 3-0. They're playing great hockey. The second period ends, and then you start to worry. You go, this could be a quick series. Because the first 40 minutes, I know Carolina had that little push at the start. It wasn't dominant. But the second period was all Vegas, and the first 10 minutes of the third period was all Vegas. We all watched. And if you're like me, you think long-term, and you go, damn, like this is looking very easy for the Vegas Golden Knights. Carolina is not getting much on the offensive side. Vegas is controlling the play. Maybe their power play wasn't clicking. Not maybe, it wasn't, but it's eating up minutes. And the next thing you know, it's like, damn, we got 10 minutes left in this game. And Vegas is up 2-0. And Carolina has gotten absolutely nothing at this point. Nothing whatsoever. And then all it takes, and they say that this is, you know, the old adage, 2-0 is the worst lead in hockey. And it's true. When Carolina led 2-0 in game one, they blow that lead. Vegas comes back to win. And now here in game two, Vegas was up 2-0 with 10 minutes left in the third period. That should be game over. But it wasn't. Logan Stankoven with 10 minutes left in the game. Little forecheck on Rasmus Anderson behind the net. And you could, I just know Torts is fuming at this. And I'll stop bringing up Torts. But as a coach and as a defenseman, I played for Torts. He has these little things that he always drills into your head. And one of them is just keep the puck going. Keep the puck going. Don't try to change the flow, because the minute you do that, you're pretty much screwing everybody else on the ice because we have a way we play the game. And especially on a draw like that, we either go D to D and up or we go D wheels and up. Everybody knows the puck is going from the strong side faceoff and we're going out the weak side. And for whatever reason, Rasmus Anderson decided to reverse the puck to do a quick turn was the answer in this situation. Back into traffic, back into danger. And obviously it didn't work out. Logan Stankoven picks his pocket. And the part that made it worse is everybody's moving to the other side of the ice. So no one really caught on to it. And it gives Stankoven enough time to gather the puck, throw it in front. It goes off Jeremy Lauzon in the back of the net. And then you go, oh, uh-oh. And you could tell everybody on the Hurricanes just sat up a little straighter. And they go, okay, we're not done. We got a chance. And it's funny how just one innocuous mistake by Rasmus Anderson, one just lapse of judgment where he was on his forehand too. He could have easily just rimmed the puck. Lazy man's breakout. Mitch Marner was busting. They could have easily just ripped it up, moved the fight from by the net to the blue line, which is always good. Get it away from your net. Something in his head goes, no, I'm going to reverse it here. Maybe a little too confident. Maybe it had worked a couple times that game. Whatever it was, that one mistake, that one lack of judgment, boom, 2-1. Here we go. Carolina's got some momentum. They think they can come back now. One goal deficit's easy. It's just one shot. Two shifts later, Mark Jankowski comes in. Great play by William Carrier. And the flip play, and I'll dig into that a little bit right here. And people always ask, not always, but I'll go around and do events and things, and they say, what's one rule that you would eliminate in hockey if you could? And this may be an unpopular answer to some because it's used all the time. I don't like the flip. I think it's a lazy play. I think it has taken the place of high and hard off the glass where people would just do that constantly, but now they don't do it anymore for risk of blowing it over the glass and taking a penalty. Now they just flip it into the neutral zone. And for whatever reason, it bugs me. Maybe because I can't do it and I try it a lot and I always end up just giving it to the other team right in the middle of the offensive zone with a grade A chance while all my forwards are blowing the zone. But I think it has more to do with just as a defenseman, you don't know what the hell's going on. You're at such a disadvantage because you see these guys just flying at you like a bat out of hell. And you cannot track the puck because you have to track the guy coming at you, puck, guy coming at you, puck. It's a very difficult play, especially if the puck's going over your head. You have to turn and guess like a center fielder in baseball. Where's this thing going to land? And then pucks are rubber, so they jump and they're bouncing and they're on end and they flip over your stick and you're trying to pivot from backwards to forwards and read the play and then these forwards are just buzzing by. It's a very, very difficult play for a defenseman to read and make. And you see it time and time again where they just get eaten alive on that play. We saw it with the Brett Howden goal. Mitch Marner just throws it out there and he out-muscles Carrier, and then you saw it there with the Mark Jankowski goal. William Carrier out muscles. Gosh, I can't remember who the defenseman was for the Vegas Golden Knights, but a great play. He makes a pass over to Jankowski, and he goes absolutely bar down. Like, just a fantastic goal for his first of the playoffs. But I think we should ban that flip. Getting back to that, I don't think you can. But man, it bothers me. Make it so you have to carry the puck out. I don't know. Maybe it's a stupid idea. But seeing it time and time again, I go, man, like that sucks. Like the poor defensemen are just, they don't know what to do. Anyways, the Carolina Hurricanes tied up. And boy, oh boy, that place gets rocking. Like it's, like I've played there many, many times. That's, I've never seen it like that. It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to as a fan. It's just, man, they were absolutely rocking. Two goals in 2 minutes. All of the momentum is on Carolina's side. Vegas bounces back. They come down. They get a goal. Barbashev scores, jams it in. Nope, no goal. He pitchforked it in. We're watching this play. The ref called it off right away. The whistle blew, no goal. And this is, you know, there are moments in series where you can look back and you go, that's why they lost. That's why Carolina now has a Stanley Cup and Vegas does not. And if this series goes, whether it's 6 or 7, and Carolina wins this series, this moment could go down as that moment. John Tortorella gets, you know, some time to look at the play. As they do, hockey, you get plenty of time, and he decides, I am going to challenge this play. And I understand the reasoning. I understand why, because yes, the puck did cross the blue line, or the red line. Obviously, I understand. The gain is a goal. But the risk here, if you aren't right, Carolina already has the momentum. You're already floundering. Now you're going to give them a power play for nothing, and it's an immediate faceoff in your zone after you're already just being smothered for the last 5 minutes. It's a very risky play. But Torts, he held his convictions. He probably talked to his video guys. They had a little huddle, and they said, this is a goal. We're going to go for this. They challenge it, and I don't think I've seen a faster challenge in my day. The refs went and looked at that iPad. They talked to Toronto, or no, not Toronto. The situation room was moved to Carolina because that makes a difference. And immediately, no goal. Goaltender interference. And I think it's a good call. I think Barbashev comes in with his stick, and whether he hits the puck or not, he drives it underneath Freddie Anderson. I really don't know what Torts was looking at, to be honest, because in my eyes, and I think for the average hockey fan, if he doesn't spear him in the chest, I think it's no goal. The puck stays underneath him. He gives it enough oomph when he does that spear motion that it propels it into the net. So obviously a failed challenge, and then Carolina goes on the power play. A power play which has been inept. A power play which has just done absolutely nothing. You give them another chance with all the momentum, with the crowd going absolutely crazy, with 6 minutes left in the game. You give this power play a chance to go up, and sure shit, they do. Shane Gostisbehere, and you talk about adjustments. You know, little tweaks during the game. You could tell Rod Brind'Amour said, shoot the puck, you guys. Like, stop going out to the wings. I don't want to see Aho with the puck. I don't want to see Jarvis with the puck. I want pucks going to the net. And Jordan Staal, sure, he's standing in front. He's a big body. He gets a stick on it, and it's a 3-2 game, and the place goes absolutely bonkers, rightfully so. You were dead for rights 6 minutes ago. This series was over 6 minutes ago, and now you fast forward to now, and you're in the lead. You're winning 3-2. You are going to win this game, and you are alive in this series, and you have hope. Now it's gone from we're down two, this series is over, to holy crap, it's a best of five. Anything's possible. Well, now hold on. Hold on. Because Carolina takes a penalty. Jackson Blake throws his hip out for whatever reason on Barbashev again, and he goes down, and he's whining on the way to the box, and everybody's scratching their head. Well, no, that's a penalty, dude. You cannot do that. That's an absolute interference. It was a stupid penalty. Vegas gets a power play. They don't score. There's a weird thing with the Vegas Golden Knights power play. And correct me if I'm wrong or agree with me. They don't look... There's no urgency, and it works at times when Jack Eichel just free flows in on the from the neutral zone into the offensive zone, and it looks nice. But when you get in zone and you still have that same lackadaisical mentality, and you're not snapping passes around, and it's not crispy, and you're not ahead of the killers, it just looks like you don't care. And for whatever reason in this game, the power play for the Knights, it looked very sluggish. Where the guys were just kind of floating around, oh, I'm going to make a move, and you just expected, maybe they expected Carolina to just let them have time and space, but that's not what happened. And so the power play was really crap for the Vegas Golden Knights in game two. I don't know what happened, because in game one, I know they didn't score and get many shots, but they generated chances, and the buzz was there, and they were snapping the pucks around, and it looked good. I thought they did a good job in game one. In game two hits, it was a completely different power play where it almost worked in Carolina's favor, where they got on their toes and they were pressuring all over the ice and they were getting rushes against. And it was just a great kill for the Hurricanes. But the Knights, they need to fix that. They need to get pucks low to high, pucks to the net, and they need to snap the passes around. There's nothing worse than watching, whether it's an Eichel or a Marner or a Hurdle, just lackadaisically get the puck and your head's up and you go, and you just float a pass over. And then Carolina's on you. Boom, the puck's out of the zone. They have to change that. But anyways, their power play ends. And then Mark Stone's in front, and Mitch Marner, which he should have done from the beginning, at the start of the power play, just throws the puck on the net. Mark Stone gathers the rebound, puts it in. It's 3-3 with 1 minute left. You're like, damn, this is good hockey. Carolina dominated for the last 7 minutes. They get a gift of a power play. They don't capitalize on it, but then Mark Stone buries Captain Vegas Golden Knights. 3-3. We're going to overtime. What do you expect in overtime? Is it going to be a long one? Is it going to be a short one? Pretty damn short. A friend of the show, Seth Jarvis, they're on the power play. The guy has been absolutely invisible. He was demoted from the first line in this game. Rod the Bod trying to mix up the lines. He brought Jordan Martinuk up to the first line because we know how great Jordan Martinuk is. Drops Seth Jarvis down. He gets his opportunity in overtime. Shane Gostisbehere, spare. Beautiful pass over. Jarvis buries it. There was no chance for Carter Hart, but just absolutely laser from the top of the circle. Game over, 4-3. Carolina Hurricanes win. We're going back to the Vegas Golden Knights rink. Tied 1-1. And what more could you ask for? I don't think you could ask for anything more. One more thing on this game. I played with this kid, Braden McNabb, and I've watched a lot of hockey. That was the worst shot to the face or shot anywhere I've ever seen. And they showed one replay, and it was a perfect angle right down the tunnel of the shot coming off of Ehlers' stick. It did not hit his visor, as far as I can tell. I know the broadcast said it hit his visor. It was straight to the face. Like, absolute, in the face. Like, I don't want to joke about it, because he's going to be in tough, man. I would be surprised if he has any teeth left in his face. And, you know, we talk about hockey players being tough and this, that, and the other. That's tough to see. Whether you're a Vegas fan or a Hurricanes fan, you cannot look at that and not cringe. And that's a big, big hit for the Vegas Golden Knights, because he plays a ton of hockey. He pairs up with Theodore for that first line pairing. Then you got Hanifin and Anderson, and then the third pairing doesn't get much minutes. And you could tell the difference when he went out of the game. They practically went down to four defensemen, and it wore on Anderson and Hanifin and Theodore, because they just played a ton of minutes. And if he's out for a prolonged period of time, if he's out game three, game four, this is a big hit for this team, because they weren't thin on the back end, but they, like I said, they played those four guys quite a bit. If you eliminate one of them, if Braden McNabb is out for a couple games, that's tough. I know Jeremy Luzon came back to the lineup, but he is not a Braden McNabb. McNabb he's a good defenseman. I know he makes a couple mistakes every once in a while with the puck, but goodness, is he good defensively? You can put him against anybody and he dominates. He's good on the PK. He's a solid, I played with him in Buffalo. He's a solid big body defenseman who moves the puck well for his size, and he's confident. He's played in what, 1,000 games? That was his first 3-point game in game one. Then this happens to him in game two, but that's something to look for. Is he going to be back? Because game three, when is game three at? Let me check right now. Yeah, game three is Saturday, so they're going every other day. If he is out for game three, it's a distinct advantage for the Carolina Hurricanes, because you can't play. Like, Jeremy Luzon cannot play top 4 minutes. He can't. He can't. And you can't just play four defensemen the whole time. You can go back to Coughlin and Kojak. That, like, I get it, but boy, that's a big blow if he can't play. But dang, it doesn't look good. Like, you've seen shots hit faces before, whether it's deflected, this, that, and it hits a visor first. That was a clean shot right to the face. Like, over under how many teeth he lost. He must have lost 7 to 10. Oh, it was tough to watch. I think they said it was going 88 miles an hour, 87 miles an hour. Ooh. All right, moving forward. Game three. Adjustments. What do you do if you're the Vegas Golden Knights? Much like I was saying for the Carolina Hurricanes, you dominated this game. You're up 2-0. There's 10 minutes left. What do you do to change your game to maximize your winning potential? Because you were the better team for large swaths of this game, and you're going home feeling pretty crummy. Well, if I'm John Tortorella, I'm absolutely just livid. A, at taking bad penalties, like myself, and B, Rasmus Anderson. There's a few plays where they can be better, but I just think you got to get on your toes, and you got to be more aggressive on the power play, and you need to play your game. Because it's funny, in the first two periods, I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm watching this game, and I'm going, gosh, like, they're two well-coached teams. They're two energetic teams. They're playing the way the game should be played. But the difference is Vegas is just more talented. And I think Carolina in the first three rounds, they outworked teams, they outsystemed teams, and they just were all encompassing. They were better. But they were playing teams that maybe didn't match their compete level. They didn't match their, you know, discipline level, whether it was Montreal or Ottawa or Philly. They had issues with those teams. The Knights matched their compete level. They matched their discipline level, but they're just more talented. And when Vegas plays that game, they're unbeatable because they're very evenly matched teams. But I know Vegas is more talented. So when you meet up with a team, when you try to outwork them and you go, damn, like I cannot outwork this team. And then you try to out-discipline them, you know, being in the right spot and just trying to get them in the bad spot. And Vegas is always in a good spot. And you go, damn, look, what do we do now? It wasn't until they made a mistake and they started to second-guess themselves that they'd let Carolina back into the game. But if I'm the Golden Knights, I feel okay. Stanley Cup Finals, what do you want to do on the road? Just take one. That's all you need to do. Going back home, now you have, you know, home ice advantage, and you can work with that. If I'm the Hurricanes, I'm ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic. We deserve to be down 2-0. We pulled that one like a rabbit out of that hat. We have momentum now. Our power play is clicking. We scored the game winner. Maybe this gives life to Seth Jarvis. Sebastian Aho and Svechnikov are still completely just invisible. Is anyone else noticing Aho just turns the puck over all the time when he enters the zone? Whether it's an odd man rush or the power play or whatever, he just always seems to just leak off his stick. I don't know what it is. And then people are falling down a lot. I don't know if it's the ice at the Lenovo Center, but there's a lot of guys falling down. Hopefully Vegas has their act together. Yeah, because the ice in Vegas will be fantastic. But I'm excited for game three. I hope the series goes 7. I want to see more of this. Every game, it's just complete drama. It's poetry. It's beautiful hockey plays. It's just intense emotion. It's what the playoffs should be. So I appreciate you guys listening. You're welcome for this beautiful series. That's what the NHL is saying to you. And that's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying thank you, though. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. We'll catch you guys next week. Enjoy game 3 on Saturday. And we'll talk to you guys probably Monday morning. Cheers, everybody.